This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
I've seen many terrible things during my watch, but none more horrifying than a wasted second round draft pick. That's why I always use my fantasy footballer's ultimate draft kit to guide me through the cold. Though my friends and family league keeps getting smaller and smaller, my fantasy team's just getting stronger and stronger. Join me at www.ultimatedraftkit.com. And prepare yourself to fight the good fight. Winter is coming, but so is my hashtag Foot Clan title. I guess I do know something after all.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Friday, August 19th. Mike, the fantasy hitman, right? Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast. So excited to be with you once again. A mock draft episode on today's show. And stop yelling. Stop screaming. We've got the deucers.
Oh.
On the mock draft today, I didn't want the crowd, you know, the pitchforks and all that.
I see. I thought you were speaking to me and Jason, and we had said nothing at that point.
No, I won't ask you to stop yelling until later.
Yes. All right.
But the deucers are in the building. We've got Kyle, the judge, the owl, and
our show.
I know.
When I take a step back, I go, wow, that show's dumb.
Sure. And one of the things that I think we're consistent on is that you can always take that step back and conclude that.
Right. We want to make sure that, at any time during your listening experience, you could say, yeah, this is pretty dumb what I'm doing.
Right.
And I think you could say that now. You could say that 20 minutes from now. Hopefully, 20 years from now.
And in reality, fantasy football is a little bit like that too.
Oh yeah, you should be watching the game, rooting for what's happening on your phone, and go, this is pretty dumb what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, and the truth is all the dumb people, they don't know they're dumb, right? Like, because we're all dumb together.
Yeah.
So it's not dumb.
We're so smart.
We're smart.
This show is great.
This is a really smart show.
Very sophisticated.
Also to pre-answer the questions, the Deucer Cam is still coming.
Yeah.
We had to wait on lighting forever, and so it's...
supply chain.
Yeah,
exactly. It was stuck in the Suez Canal.
Yep.
Was it? Yeah, that's where most of the lighting was.
It's a real timely reference.
Yeah, Suez Canal jokes. Again, another mainstay. But no, the Deucer...
I've been catching up on the news, fellas. I'm months behind.
Was the Suez where that big boat was stuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I don't want to miss anything, though.
Is the Berlin Wall down? Did that happen?
Gorbachev took care
of
that.
Got it.
Gorby.
We have a big announcement today.
Jason, take it away.
So here's the deal. You've heard us talk about it all week, but today is the day we are giving away the Ultimate Draft Kit for life on a live stream tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. Wherever you want to watch, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, we are going to be live 6 p.m. Eastern to answer your fantasy football questions, chat, have fun, get ready for the season. And at the end of that live stream, we are giving away a UDK for life. You will have it forever. And we have decided you can bequeath that.
Yes.
Down generations.
The lawyers approved.
And so this
there is one rule to that, though. It has to be a handwritten yeah. bequeath document.
For sure. If it doesn't have a wax seal, right. It's not legit.
It's got to go into the will, into a trust. Otherwise, we're taking that back.
Yeah, and into like maybe a chest, too, that they open up and find at the end.
Sure. Must be buried.
Must be buried.
You got to find it with a map. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
There's a map.
Oh. Holy moly, we are in Friday mode. But yes,
how do you get into that contest?
You get the ultimate draft kit anytime before that. We will be randomly pulling someone at 6:30 Eastern. So long as you get your ultimate draft kit before then, you are entered in a chance. And if you got it in the past, you're good. Everyone who's ever had one, you are entered for that. It's a great time on that show. And obviously you need the Ultimate Draft Kit anyways to dominate your drafts that are going to be happening this or next or one of these weekends.
A lot of drafts this weekend. So, I've been talking to some friends and they're already on flights and they're getting ready for this weekend's draft. And very excited about that. Also giving away a Deebo Samuel signed jersey and a Stephon Diggs helmet. It'll be a good time on the live stream. UltimateDraftKit.com. What else is going on? We talking news now?
Yeah, sounds
good. All right, let's do it.
News and notes from around the league.
All right, let's start here. Jacksonville Jaguars running back James Robinson is expected to be ready for week one. Head coach Doug Peterson says, I don't think you just go full steam ahead, but you gradually increase his reps. Don't want to stress his body, but he needs enough work where he's possibly ready to go for Washington.
And what is crazy here is I remember saying this months ago when the timeline seemed awful, that the local people there that cover this team still always consider James Robinson the starter, that it's his job, and Travis Etienne is more of the passing down back, and that's been the steady drumbeat. This still doesn't make sense to me because of the specific injury and the timeline. It is so difficult to come back from, but we keep hearing it that James Robinson is expected to not only be ready, but be the starter.
So is this scaring you off of Travis Etienne at the current ADP?
I have had him lower than that because of my confidence that Robinson will come back. I think the pathway to running back success on a Jacksonville offense with question marks is having it all. That's what gave James Robinson and Leonard Fournette value in years past. You know, I watched Travis Etienne in the preseason. He's not a big guy. You know, there are question marks. He had one kind of nice run up the middle where he got free for about 8 or 9 yards. Outside of that, it's like 7 carries for almost nothing. I think this team needs compliments. And yes, so I guess the answer, that's a long way of saying, yeah, it's a little scary to not know how much you're going to get, especially 4, 5, 6 weeks into the year. I mean, maybe week one and week two, it's all ETN, but what does that even represent when we haven't seen him?
I would agree with you that in the value we've had out of the Jacksonville running back has been primarily because it's a one-man show, and it doesn't look to be a one-man show. That being said, if I was going to pick one of these two backs, it's clearly Travis Etienne.
Yes, yes.
He is the far more explosive athlete,
pass catcher,
healthy, and is a great pass catcher. With a quarterback who, you know, Trevor Lawrence checked it down a lot as a rookie. So I think he's going to get a lot of use. If he's in the fourth round, I'm still fine with Travis Etienne.
Also, Todd Bowles yesterday said he does not have a definitive date for Tom Brady rejoining the team, but isn't concerned about it. This became a news point, you know, the sleeper alert, things of that nature, because of, you know, a very fair, because reasonable fear that the man who retired once this offseason may retire again.
Yeah, it is a very bizarre situation, especially considering the fact that it's not a that, like, you would think that this would be like a massive national news story of, look, Tom Brady is just not even at camp. He's been gone for you know, 10 days and they don't know when he's coming back. You know, football is happening soon. Bowles is like, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm preparing for the game. It's like, yeah, it would be nice to have your quarterback. Obviously, he comes back. He's fine. He's Tom Brady. He's, you know, 4,500 years old and has played football for the entirety of it. So
since birth, yes.
He's as old as the trees.
Yeah, we're not worried about, like, oh, he needs his reps. I think the only thing here is just there feels like
it's
a greater than
weird.
0% chance that he doesn't come back. And I know that sounds like outrageous. No one would ever just retire right before a season. But I'm old enough to remember when we did a live show in Phoenix, and right before we come out on stage, Andrew Luck has retired. So just, you know, maybe if you're having a draft this weekend and you're deciding between Tom Brady and someone else in the exact same tier.
Yeah. Maybe not draft the guy that could be retired.
I think he's coming back. We all think he's coming back. It's just, it is now, the story has dragged on to the point now where it's weird.
I also want to highlight something that may affect Brady regardless, but losing Ryan Jensen in the center position, a player that came back only because Brady came back, then was injured. Not having either guard from your Super Bowl run, having the interior of your line beat up.
No Gronk, his buddy.
Right. Yeah. There's some things there. And then
is he trying to get Gronk back? Is that what he's doing?
Oh, he's on Gronk's couch, isn't he?
They're off.
Oh,
playing.
My gosh. They're just like beer pong or something right now.
Just crushing some brews, playing some bags, and he's trying to get him back.
But, I mean, this was an offseason where he may have tried to, through his agent, navigate his way to Miami with Sean Payton. And, you know, the agent kind of fell on the sword there so that Brady was fine. But there's just some – and no Bruce Arians. Like, there's a lot of peripheral things. And the Buccaneers company line has been, oh, this is all planned. If it's all planned, they would have told us. If it's all planned, we would have known Brady's missing 15 days.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like –
it's getting weird.
Now it's more like Todd Bowles might not know what's happening. And he's just saying, I'm not worried about it because what else are you going to say?
Yep.
Yeah, what's – the alternative, guys, I'm super worried.
Yeah.
Hey, press, listen up. I am freaking out. I'm losing sleep at night.
Freaking out, man.
Right? Are you writing this down?
And if he leaves, poor Todd Bowles.
I know.
Who got a second shot at a head coaching job.
We can't do this.
All right, we won't do that. Right. Hey, I do want to mention this, especially for deeper leagues, dynasty leagues. In Pittsburgh, it appears that undrafted rookie Jalen Warren has supplanted Benny Snell as the number two running back. He's been super impressive, 6 for 34 in the first preseason game, but just around camp, 4 for 30 through the air, that's a big deal because if you can give some snaps to somebody other than Najee Harris, the team seems to want to try to do that a little bit. I picked him up in our Dynasty League just to have the insurance policy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen in the past Tomlin when his primary – bell cow running back goes down, he usually just brings one guy up and says, okay, it's you today. And so
got tired of doing that with Benny Snell,
right? Because he was like, why are you so slow? And
Benny Snell,
that's joke has been there for years.
Well,
as long as Brady has been playing football
since the Berlin Wall.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Oh man, two Berlin Wall jokes.
You betcha.
Can we get a third in?
We'll figure it out. All right. Any other news that we need to cover here? I'm seeing head shaking. No, the Deucers will be drafting with us today. Let's get to it.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
All right, you asked for it, and you shall receive. We're doing a 12-team half PPR mock draft. One quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, one flex, four bench. Live here on today's show. And Mike is drafting from the number one spot. I've got the number three pick. The Deucers ended up with the number five pick, and Jason's sitting at 11.
Mm. I don't mind 11 as much as the middle of the draft. I really hate when I'm at 7-8.
Yeah, I do too. So, Mike, you get to kick this off. I think Kyle the Borgogan will be the Deucer representative on the show today, and you know, I can't help but admit, I think the people are rooting for the Deucers here.
That's fine.
So just don't screw up, Kyle, is all I'm saying. This is an easy win for you as long as you make all the right decisions. You understand?
I feel great. We've got a great team back here.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Brooks is in.
All right. Mike, you have the first pick. Is this a...
The 101 to me is locked. It's between Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey. I do not mind. You know, you can go either way. But in my heart, I do believe that if Christian McCaffrey is to stay healthy, he will be better than a fully healthy Jonathan Taylor. So it takes some courage. I'm not just completely dismissing that, but I'm going to take Christian McCaffrey with the one spot.
The most difficult thing with that decision is that, well, one, people have really strong convictions about it. But the other one difficult part is that we project these players for their full season. And I think you're right. I think if he's healthy, he has the better full season. But that doesn't mean I would take McCaffrey over Jonathan Taylor very often because of a true, real fear of injury that's reasonable with multiple years and the age. Taylor is much safer, and I don't know if the gap is big enough to where I have the courage to take McCaffrey.
Yep,
but you do. All right, I'm on the clock. Jonathan Taylor obviously went number two. And I'm going to go with a player that I have been building some confidence about. It is not one of the wide receivers. It is Derrick Henry, running back for the Tennessee Titans.
Okie dokie.
I've spent a decent amount of time digging into this injury of late and feel very confident that we're getting vintage Derrick Henry this year.
Oh, it's vintage. So it's a little bit older.
I see. Like more of an antique.
Yeah.
Look, Derrick Henry, if we were coming into this season and last year had continued, would be the 101. So the real discussion here is not the ability, the output, the production, the 2,000-yard season he was coming off of. The real issue is just injury fear. It's just as much of an injury fear for Christian McCaffrey, but we're not sitting here taking Derrick Henry 101 every once in a while. It's weird. It just feels like too easy to throw away his production and worry about injury. I'm taking him at the 103 in every draft.
It is funny that you go back and you look on a per game basis, all the arguments are made that Christian McCaffrey is better than Jonathan Taylor, and it's like neither one of them were at the level that Derrick Henry was at. I would add, though, that there is a slight addition of the change of the offense. You know, losing AJ Brown, will there be a more difficult time running just from that standpoint? But he looks completely healthy. The injury risk appears to be...
In Vrabel, we trust, man.
Yeah, that I agree.
All right, Justin Jefferson went off the board at 104. The Deucers on the clock at 105. Kyle?
The first ever
mistake on this show is to be made.
Full stop.
We debated between Kupp and Eckler, and we went with Eckler.
Went with Austin Eckler.
Look at that.
Okay. I was going to say, if anybody needs a little extra time on a draft pick, I do have some interlude music that we could use. Just let me know.
Is that from our dev team?
That is from our dev team.
Oh, man.
We never get to participate in the show in any way.
Well, I will say this. I might need a little bit of pause.
Do you need a minute?
Yeah, give me just a second.
Dominate your draft with Baltimore Draft Kit. Dominate your draft with Baltimore Draft Kit.
Oh,
let's go.
So stupid.
So, yeah, obviously you have had some time to think. Austin Eckler off the board to the Deucers, Najee Harris, Cooper Kupp, Joe Mixon. So Cooper Kupp at 7, Joe Mixon at 108, Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Swift at 110. Jason, you're on the clock. You will have two quick picks.
I think this mock draft actually looks a lot like home leagues, where even though some of the mocks we've been doing lately, and if you're an underdog, you've got a very wide receiver heavy first round, usually when you get back to your home leagues, like, everyone wants those running backs, and that's what's happened here. You see guys like DeAndre Swift often in the second being drafted, but that pushes Jamar Chase to me at the 111, a guy I would not have expected to be there, so I didn't actually need that time.
Okay.
I just needed that mad jam.
Well, last time you tried to draft Jamar Chase in the first round, but it was a mayhem mock draft.
Oh.
And it was changed, and you ended up with Kelsey, so this is kind of redemption for you.
Yeah, it is. And we had just had a question on the footcast the other day of, do we ever go 0 RB? And, you know, last year there was a time It's very difficult, I think, in most home leagues for our strategy. I don't really love that much, but we brought up one situation. We're like, well, look, if it falls right and you could start with Ja'Marr Chase and Stephon Diggs, then that's I'm in.
You're willing.
Those two guys both have a chance, each one of them, to be the number one wide receiver. The only problem is they can't both do it this year. Impossible. So I'm hoping
make
for
a tie.
Okay, I guess I guess not impossible. Way to take down that wall, Mr.
Sorry.
Gorbachev.
All right.
We got it in. All right, so I'm starting
this
with
Friday show, man.
Two wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase and Stephon Diggs.
All right, after Chase went Adams and Kelsey, by the way, for those listening. If you're watching on YouTube, the draft board is up. You can follow along. Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs for Jason. He is in that boat where he has look, I'm excited to see what running backs come your way later in the draft, because how exciting is it to run Ja'Marr Chase and Stephon Diggs out there?
Yeah, extremely.
Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb. By the way, Nick Chubb, don't know if you know this, tied for fourth right now on the best odds to be offensive player of the year.
Wow.
So kind of interesting.
That feels like a bad bet.
Derrick Henry is up above there. Aaron Jones, CeeDee Lamb. And the Deucer's back on the clock. Any disappointment in the players that went just ahead of you?
We were all in on Aaron Jones. That's our guy. So
I expect that from Al over there.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, we're debating between Javonte Williams and Tyreek Hill. So, any thoughts, guys?
Yeah, I mean, just don't pick the right one.
Yeah.
I definitely have thoughts. I'll tell you after your pick.
We really don't want Jason to have any good running backs at all. So we're thinking about
so
that.
Just sabotaging Jason.
Just starting your draft by destroying. I don't know if we recommend the ruin someone else plan, but
I will say this: there is no chance that anyone you would draft here would get back to me. I'm still like 16 picks away.
All right, so Eckler in the first. What's your second round pick here?
We're gonna go with Javonte Williams. We think that he's gonna be a difference maker.
Yeah, it's the right call.
I like it.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see more of that excitement percolating into the second round now. I mean, Javonte is one of a handful of players that have a draft cost that could equal league winner if you're right about them. Josh Allen goes next, and I'm back on the clock. Derrick Henry in the first round. At running back, you know, there are some names there. Leonard Fournette, who I just have had a hard time drafting, even though I shouldn't. But maybe I should now if Brady's not around. If Brady's not around, Leonard Fournette is going to be so much worse.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, Zeke, who I have no problem with. I am going to be going the wide receiver route here, though. I'm going to go with a player that was the number two overall wide receiver last season. I'm going to take Deebo Samuel. I don't think he was going to make it back around to me.
No, he was definitely not. I was so you took Deebo. Team two took Tyreek Hill. I was hoping that Deebo and Mike Evans would make it here to the turn.
You're going to go double-double?
Yeah, and... Well, I mean, I guess.
Do you get any hesitation with Evans?
I was just
gonna, yeah.
Now that we've been talking about Brady, I think he's going to be back. So, in my projections, I have Mike Evans very, very high in my rankings. The Chris Godwin situation is still. When will he be fully back? And
the writers out of camp right now are saying, oh, everything is looking so great with Godwin. And then they amend that they append it and say, but he's not going to be there for week one. Those two things are both true. He is doing great in his recovery. He is practicing with the team, and he will not be there week one.
That's your conviction?
I'm fully convicted of that, yeah.
All right, Mike, so you got to make a couple decisions here.
So I'm going to take Mike Evans, and then the question becomes, do I take one of these other running backs that I like, which they're admittedly higher risk, you know, Zeke, James Conner, they both carry risk to me, but the upside to them is both the top 10 running back. And then the wide receiver, of course, I would be looking at would be Michael Pittman, who I'm at the turn. 0.0% chance that Michael Pittman comes back to me. So is this a just – take your guy.
Yeah, because you have to. There's no way to get him later.
And I'm going to do that.
Oh.
Interesting.
If you didn't, we're changing the graphic again. We built
this city. So I was I was hoping you wouldn't take Zeke. That was my hopes and dreams there. If you had, I would have been targeting Mark Andrews with my next pick.
Okay.
But Mark Andrews went one pick before me, so Zeke is on the board. I'll let you know what I do in just a minute.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit USAA.com/homeowners. to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right. My third pick, Derrick Henry, Deebo Samuel. The first two selections, Mike's team right now, McCaffrey, Evans, and Pittman with that last selection. I have to admit, as one of the non, like, I've not even really been a visitor to Pity City,
yeah.
Right? Like, I've heard about it. It's mm-hmm. You guys gave me pamphlets for years.
Yeah, you just you take the bypass.
Yeah, I mean, I just have a shortcut to other places. Mm-hmm. But even I have seen the billboards at this point. I mean, I
the grass is looking pretty green in that city, huh?
The popularity of Pity City is being spread around. So my travel agent tried to suggest it.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know.
Look, all are welcome. Except for Jason.
How dare you?
So, you know, at this point in the draft, the idea of having two of a handful of workhorse running backs, I've talked about what I like later in the draft, and I know we're mock drafting together, so I might not get some of these wide receivers I love, but I'm still going to go Ezekiel Elliott here in the third round. Okay. Keenan Allen off the board next. So team four has no running backs yet. Neither does Jason, but the Deucer's back on the clock. Eckler and Javonte with the first two picks.
Yeah, we doubled up running backs, kind of like how Jeremy and I double pickled Jason and Mike yesterday.
Oh, very fair. Very fair.
Oh, my goodness. You pack your things right now. The first mid-show firing, you get
very impressive.
Oh, my God.
Boom, shakalaka.
Now,
I'll give you the applause because it was very good.
You noticed that the proportion of when Al has an influence on the show to when he boom shakalakas us, it's nearly 80-90%. So that's a pickleball slam.
I want you to know something, Kyle. You're dead to me. I mean, you're dead to me.
And for the non-pickleball players out there, a pickle is when you beat somebody 11-0. And a double pickle would be doing that twice in a row.
Oh man. These guys are out of control. Who allowed them on the microphones?
We did.
Yeah,
that was a mistake. Oh, so looks like A.J. Brown's your pick?
Yeah, we wanted Keenan Allen, but we went upside with A.J. Brown.
Really? You were going to go Keenan and Austin Eckler?
We talked about it.
Okay.
All right, Leonard Fournette off the board next, James Conner, Kyle Pitts, Mahomes and Herbert. So we've had Allen, Mahomes, and Herbert off the board at the quarterback position. Jason, You know, talk to us about the thought process here with Jamar Chase, Stephon Diggs. Are you sitting here thinking purely running back? Are you looking at embracing a full zero RB? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, when I picked Jamar Chase and Stephon Diggs, you want to have a plan. And my plan originally was to hope for when I've taken wide receiver at this turn, I personally like having the 3-4 turn of the young stud athletic profiles of Breece Hall and Travis Etienne. So if I could get them at the next turn, that would be great. Now I started to get my hopes up when, you know, like Fournette started dropping.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm not going to just say, well, that's my only strategy. You know, you've got T. Higgins here that I think is very much worth a draft pick.
That would be wild, though.
It would
if
be
if you doubled up Jamar Chase and T. Higgins as two of your first picks.
That is the issue here, is the shared team. The value of Higgins over those running backs, I think, is there. When you drop to the next wide receiver who, depending on your rankings, maybe it's Terry McLaurin or Deontay Johnson or DJ Moore, those guys to me aren't worth what T. Higgins would be, and I don't want to do the double up. So I'm going to say the 12 team does not have a running back yet. They're probably going to take running backs. I'm going to go based on ADP so that I can hopefully get both of the guys I want. Right now, that means I'm taking Breece in the third and hoping Etienne gets back to me.
Which he did. Cam Akers and Terry McLaurin go next. So Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, that would be one of those they better hold Jamar Chase and Stephon Diggs' hands out going to the field, because not that they can't be cornerstones of this backfield, but they would both be some question marks, especially – you know, early in the year when you've literally never seen either one play on a football field.
Exactly right.
A professional field.
Yeah.
Right. This ain't your mama's draft, okay? This is not a safe draft. This is an upside trying to win a championship draft. These two guys could burn and flame out in their first NFL experience on the field. They could get off to a really slow start before they get hot in the second half. But I love the profile of pass-catching, young, athletic, explosive, high draft capital running backs to go with my known proven commodities at wide receivers. So when I took Jamar Chase and Stephon Diggs, my hope was that I ended up with this exact team where I have it.
All right, well, Chase, Diggs, Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, Higgins off the board next, then Kittle, Montgomery, and Waller. So we've seen three tight ends, Pitts, Kittle, Waller go between the 3-8 and the 4-6. Deontay Johnson off the board next. The Deucers back on the clock. Do you have some great conviction about who you want here, or is there a debate in hand?
Well, based on our UDK tiers, Denniston Moore Jr. will easily be our pick.
Denniston Moore Jr. That would
all
be
right.
DJ for short. Okay. Well, you know, you take that temptation off the board for me. You have Eckler, Javonte, A.J. Brown, and DJ Moore. And here we are, my fourth pick. You know,
I'm very happy to find out that that's actually his name.
Denniston.
Denniston?
Dude, Denniston?
No wonder he goes by DJ.
Oh, dude, Denniston is rad.
Denniston is rad for a chess player.
Oh, dude,
for a chess player?
Get out, you need to break the barrier. Be out there. Be faster than everyone. You're like, my name is Denniston.
Denniston
Eat
the
it.
Menace.
Yeah, the
Denniston the Menace. this is a Friday. So I'm having a hard time kind of figuring out this pick, so just give me a sec. I mean, it's tough. You're not going to get it out of your head. By the way, why don't you explain what that actually was?
Yeah, so we were just goofing around in the office the other day. We found this type 2 text thing that could just, with AI, make it sound like different people are talking. And then all of a sudden, our programmers from the other room they just made this little jingle from AI. So
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from.
All I know is I can't get it out of my head.
We're spreading it to you. So let me be honest. The two picks that I'm looking at here are Mike Williams and Cortland Sutton. Mike isn't even looking up from where he's sitting because he doesn't even want me to entertain the Cortland Sutton indulgence. If Mike ended up with Mike Evans, Mike Pittman,
follow your rankings, bro. What are you doing?
What if I give you triple mics? I mean,
if you can follow your rankings, but you also got to know your draft. You got to know your league.
Yeah.
You got to know who's between your picks.
But he knows that one of those players is not making it back.
That's fair.
That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to help my friend, my great friend, very attractive, incredibly smart friend.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because these are two of my guys, you and I.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll take my guy. Mike Williams off the board. Lamar Jackson goes next. Mike is very pleased. And Cortland Sutton's going to be off the board here to Mike with the fourth pick, I assume.
That is... wait, let me check with the computer. Yeah, that is correct. So that's an easy one for me. So now
what are you thinking here? You got McCaffrey and three wide receivers.
Yeah, so I'm looking over at the running backs, and it's hard because I mean we're entrenched in the dead zone, right? The ADP, the top is Josh Jacobs. No, thank you. J.K. Dobbins is next. He is intriguing because I think that this is like. To me, where I've seen him drafted, this is a little bit of a draft discount, but this is also, I think, taking a player who's not going to help you at the beginning of the year, which is always a scary proposition. But looking at the rest of these guys like Mitchell, I'm with Andy that I really like A.J. Dillon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Those are the next ADP running backs. Once things are going, do I have the faith that J.K. Dobbins is better than those players? And I got Christian McCaffrey, so like I have a little bit of a surplus, hopefully, from my RB1 position that, you know, he can carry a little bit until J.K. Dobbins rounds into form. And being at the turn here, I have, you know, such a long wait that these running backs are going to just, they're going to be all gone. So I'm going to do it. I think this is the first time I've taken J.K. Dobbins, but with this build of pure, like to me, just really upside with McCaffrey, Evans, Pittman, Sutton, and then Dobbins. Maybe I get a running back two who's a little bit more stable till Dobbins is ready. But by the this is a bet. End of year, J.K. Dobbins has it back.
Okay.
Which
yeah.
I don't know if that's the right way to go, but I'll make it in this mock.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm really glad Josh Jacobs went off the board next. Not that I would have been that tempted. We have a sleepers, breakouts, busts, and values episodes next week. Josh Jacobs is near the top of my fearful bust candidate list where I just don't know what's going to happen there. I'm sitting here now with my fifth pick. Henry and Elliott are my running backs. Debo, Mike Williams, my wide receivers. And I've got one of each, both my guys, sitting here in the fifth round, Allen Robinson, A.J. Dillon. I'm not going to get a running back I have A.J. Dillon level confidence in coming back around. I'm at the third pick, so it's going to be a long wait. Ooh. So I'm taking A.J. Dillon.
You're building super balanced here.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to just ping-ponging between running backs and wideouts. Jalen Waddle goes next, but Mike Williams and A.J. Dillon, my last two picks. The Deucers with Eckler, Javonte, A.J. Brown, and Denniston Moore.
The Meniston.
Yes. What are you looking at here?
We were looking at Dillon as well just because we don't love the running backs in this round, but I think Allen Robinson's the highest on our board.
I like to hear that.
Okay.
You know, don't get him too high on your board or we're just going to jeopardize that beautiful ADP. But, okay, you went with three wideouts in a row, Metcalf, Murray, Judy, Amari Cooper and Amon-Ra St. Brown go next. Jason's back with his late fifth and early sixth.
So I've got Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs locked in at wide receiver, and then some upside hopefuls in Breece Hall and Travis Etienne at running back. Here I'm at the 5-6 turn, so when I'm one spot off at the 11th spot, and whenever I'm there, I'm viewing both picks together. I'm trying to think, what am I doing with these two picks as opposed to just who do I like the best right now. I was really, really hoping that at this next turn I could get Jalen Hurts. He's obviously someone I just talked up on the My Guys show. I say if he gets to the sixth round, I will take him every time. And the reality is I'm at that 5-6 turn, even though this is the 5-11. The team 12 does not yet have a quarterback, and I would be very sad if Jalen Hurts went. So I'm just going to grab him
now. You're doing
the
Pittman, like Mike.
Yeah, I'm just going to grab him now.
Just take your guy.
And grab my guy. And then after Jalen Hurts, The Team 12 took Elijah Mitchell and Chris Godwin, which I am actually quite happy about, because when I looked at wide receivers, I was between Chris Godwin and Marquise Hollywood-Brown. Those two guys, I think, are going to be great by the end of the year, but they're going to come in different ways. Chris Godwin will be the second half of the year, and I think Hollywood will be the first half of the year with a healthy Kyler and no DeAndre Hopkins. And when I look at my team, I think about Breece Hall and Travis Etienne. Breece Hall and Travis Etienne might get off to a slower start, you know, as essentially both rookies in a way, and should be great in the second half of the year. I don't want to triple that up with a Chris Godwin. So I think that Marquise Hollywood-Brown in my flex helps me weather some of the early running back storm if Breece Hall and Travis Etienne get off to a slow start.
All right, Dalton Schultz, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Burrow, Miles Sanders, and Brandon Cooks off the board next. I kind of had my eyes on Brandon Cooks coming around at the 6-10, not going to get him. The Deucer's back on the clock, three wideouts in a row. Kyle, what is the latest with the Deucers?
We have a ton of wide receivers we like here, and based on our build, it kind of stinks because we could take another one, but our team's already looking pretty good there.
Yeah, they would go to your bench as your wide receiver four, which it's not the worst to have some other options there.
So what's the pick going to be? Are you looking or considering anything at the quarterback or tight end position?
We have some quarterbacks that we definitely like, but we think we can wait based on y'all. So I'm just going to take the wide receiver that we have highest, and it's Juju.
All right. Ooh, okay. Juju Smith-Schuster off the board, then Hockenson, putting me into an interesting spot here. I have one quarterback that I think could be in that league-winning, worthy of a six-round pick spot.
Really?
Ooh. I do. I do have one that I've been taking a little bit more, and I'm pretty excited about. And I'm coming back around, and I'll be grabbing most likely a wide receiver at that point. There are names that I think are values, and again, we're drafting against each other, so I'm just saying them. But, you know, Adam Thielen, I'm pretty excited about Adam Thielen in this new offense with Kevin O'Connell. Gabe Davis is there. I've also got my guy of Jason sitting at the running back position. Don't think we didn't see him there, Jason. Chase Edmonds on the board, but I've got Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, and A.J. Dillon. So I'm actually going to go for the victory in this league. I think getting Russell Wilson here in the sixth round.
Unlimited.
No stack for Mike with Cortland Sutton. Would you have taken him at one of your next two picks?
It would have been in strong consideration just because of the stack. I mean, still tons of quarterbacks left on the board that are very acceptable to me as quarterback one and some upside, but if I'm right on Cortland Sutton, that would mean that I'm right on Russell Wilson being great, so that would be a glorious stack to have. I will take Jason's Mike. Chase Edmonds.
Okay, so
there was no way he was coming back.
But in ADP,
I have J.K. Dobbins, bro. I need someone to start.
Look, it's a great pick as far as a player you need, but obviously being at the turn, you reached way ahead of ADP. When I made the choice to go Jalen Hurts, Marquise Brown, it was because my next pick is that 7-8 turn. His ADP is in the eighth, and I like wholeheartedly had planned on having Chase Edmonds get all the way back to me at the 7-11.
I could tell because you had very little to say when I started mentioning his name.
Yeah,
he was already starred over here.
Yeah, yeah, that was know your, you know, you just said it, know your league.
Yeah.
So
all right, and so I'm pretty happy with that now, of just like with those three running backs of McCaffrey, Dobbins, Edmonds. Edmonds can fill in at my running back two spot while I'm waiting for Dobbins.
You're sitting 3-3 right now.
Yeah, so I am very balanced, and I'm going to take Darnell Mooney, who wide receiver one from the Chicago Bears, that like the Bears offense could be that offense that we love for fantasy football, in terms of it's Mooney, it's Cole Kmet, and that is it. Now it's obviously not a high-powered offense. Like, this is not the Kansas City Chiefs with Tyreek and Travis Kelce, but Mooney over 1,000 last year. I think that field will be a bit better.
Jason's super, super happy right now. I went with Gabe Davis. My pick would have been Mooney, Mike. I would have gone with Mooney. I felt like he would be a perfect balancing act here with Debo and Mike Williams. But no, Mike and I stealing away Jason's favorite guys. Gabriel Davis.
They both were ADP supposed to get to me. I wrote those two. They were my next turn. My next turn.
You're talking about the two guys that you literally went on like soapboxes for yesterday.
Yes.
They're just going to make it.
But yeah, I hate you guys so much.
All right, Kyle, you and the Deucers back on the clock. I want to see if you can take five wide receivers in a row. Can you do it?
We can't. We don't have the stones for it. But
all right,
we will take Ramondre Stevenson. With Damian Harris off the board, it was a lot easier to take him.
Yeah, I was going to ask because Damian Harris was in consideration for me because seventh round, if you got what Damian Harris was last year, then you're in really, really good shape. Never have too many running backs, but you didn't get that choice. You went Ramondre right after Damian Harris.
That's wild.
Rashad Bateman goes next, then Treylon Burks, Michael Thomas. Drake London and Ken Walker. Jason, I don't know if any of your my guys are really left to pick from. You can just walk out if you want.
They aren't. You guys saw to that. I still have one of them in Jalen Hurts, but here I am at a place where I do need running back help for my Breece Hall, Travis Etienne.
Just draft Kareem Hunt and get it over with.
Thank you. That is
you
my
don't
pick.
Need to, okay. I don't need an explanation. Just take Kareem Hunt.
That was the pick. So I will take Kareem Hunt. I think he is kind of the last guy at a certain tier. If you haven't been able to tell, I like pass-catching running backs with good production and athletic profiles. He was the running back 10 2 years ago. So now I am at the 8-2. I have a team with Kareem Hunt, Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, Jamar Chase, Stephon Diggs, and Marquise Hollywood Brown, and Jalen Hurts at the top. I'm not ever really entertaining tight ends in this round, but it is worth bringing up that the only middle tier tight end that I think has a shot of kind of having a bigger season, and we didn't talk about him much on our tight end episode, is Dallas Goedert, who would complete a stack with Jalen Hurts.
He would.
So it is very interesting.
Ugh. You got the stones for Goddard?
I don't, because I think in the end he is the third target to a much better player who is named Devonta Smith, who completes a stack in a different, more important position.
Oh, nicely done.
So I will take the second-year wide receiver for Jalen Hurts.
Okay, Devontae Smith off the board. Singletary, Ayuk, Olave, Hopkins finally goes in the eighth round. Tom Brady off the board in the eighth round as well. Kyle, the Deucers are back on the clock.
We're torn right here between Trey Lance, of course. And Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow.
I think the right right decision to make.
Yeah, you do.
I know what Kyle wants, and I know what Owl wants.
Oh, man. So this really should be a Brooks pick.
Yeah.
Because if you are
Brooks
if you're,
is shaking his
if
head.
If you're new to
he
the foot,
want in on
if
that.
You're new to the foot clan, Kyle.
I want Stafford.
Oh yes,
yes.
Wow, how funny! So they are torn between three different quarterbacks.
Do you need a minute or?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, no.
I won't subject the people to the whole song. Who are you going with?
For the theatrics, I would say Lance, but I love Rodgers' opening schedule, and I want listeners to get him. So Aaron Rodgers.
All right. You fell on the sword there. I can't take Lance. I just took Russell Wilson, so I can't ruin Mike. Elijah Moore was on my short list. Unfortunately, he just went ahead of my pick.
Yeah, he was on my list too.
You know, Gabe Davis was my previous pick at running back. You know, Rashad Penny, it's tempting to just add a little depth to my backfield. He stands out as kind of being in a better tier than the rest of the names.
This is a full round after the currently injured. Do you consider that an injury when you have a surgery for a hernia?
Yes.
But yeah, so yeah. Ken Walker, not able to practice right now, already drafted ahead of Rashad Penny.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Penny. Garrett Wilson goes next. Mike, you've got back-to-back picks as we head into the ninth round of our mock draft.
I love it because I know exactly where I'm going. I'm not going to mess around on the turn. Trey Lance onto my team.
Make no mistake.
And the Lizard King
yes.
onto my team.
Yes. I was going to say, make no mistake, Foot Clan. If Mike is wrong about Trey Lance, he will feel it everywhere
in the
world
yes.
on his own rosters. Yeah, I saw Lizard there, Mike. It was a temptation. I went with Penny. I just felt like the running back depth.
Honestly, if you had not taken Penny, it was going to be that would have been an interesting internal debate for me.
Sure, sure. Yeah, the situation there, though, went with the running back. You got Lance and Lazard. James Cook off the board next. Would have been a fun one to take a look at. I'm in the ninth round, and to be honest with you, I'm having a hard time here. I'm going to go with Damian Pierce, the rookie running back out of Houston.
I like it.
I have five running backs on the roster. I don't care. I'm content with that. I am going to need to take a tight end and probably another wide receiver with my last two picks. But Renfrow off the board next. Back to the Deucers.
We wanted James Cook, Damian Pierce, and Hunter Renfrow in that order.
And those are the three really? Names right before you.
Oh, wow.
So are you scrambling a little bit?
I bet you're pretty disappointed.
Joe Flacco's still there.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. We got our tiers, though. So,
okay, what do you got?
We're feeling all right. There's not much left.
He's trying to dominate his draft.
I think at this point, we want to get best player available. Yeah, that was on
you
me.
You got to hold the button now, Kyle.
I'm just going to go with Robert Woods. He's safe.
Okay. All right, Robert Woods, panic pick from the Deucers. and then, Jason, you won't get that choice to take any of the tight ends
wow.
on the board. Goddard, Ertz, Knox, back-to-back-to-back, Lockett, Gordon, and you're back on the clock. You do need a tight end.
I was so happy to see the Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, Dawson Knox run happen because those guys weren't really players I was targeting, especially having already grabbed Devonta Smith. One player that I was really, really, really hoping got to me was Melvin Gordon. And unfortunately, he went one pick beforehand. Right now, having Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, and Kareem Hunt, I do feel like running back is somewhere I need to look for a value, someone that can solidify things or just kind of really beat their ADP right now. And there, in my professional opinion, will be a timeshare for a very, very good offense. Similar to Melvin Gordon, he is probably the number two, but Daryl Henderson is a good
sure,
running
okay.
back who has always been good for fantasy.
Go ahead. Finish your thought, but I'm going to amplify it.
Amplify away.
Charles Robinson, I mentioned it yesterday when he was talking about Allen Robinson, but he's been at all these camps, great reporter, smart mind. He talked about that report of Sean McVay actually using Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. For what it's worth, he is 100% sure that is what is going to take place.
Okay.
He said he believes that Sean McVay's ideology on the running back position has changed from the previous years that, you know, Gurley kind of usage, that he understands that you want to wear the tread on both of those guys at the same time. So for what it's worth, there is that educated opinion out there that that is the conviction. And if you get one half of that rushing offense in the ninth round, that's the steal of the draft.
Well, here I am at the 10th round, a long time to wait. It's either this pick or my next one has to be a tight end. And while there are a few that I am fine grabbing very late.
I know what you're doing. I'm going to grab
Cole Kmet, yeah. A PPR machine who should be the number two target in his offense. And, you know, look, he had zero touchdowns last year. That was an anomaly of anomalies.
That's given, none.
Given his volume of targets, yards, everything else. Jimmy Grandpa is gone. Cole Kmet, the touchdowns will come. We already know the targets and receptions will be there. So in the 10th round, he will round out my final position.
So back to when I was on the clock for in the 7th, when I took Darnell Mooney.
Yes.
That was one of the thoughts because I was considering Darnell Mooney and Gabe Davis.
Yep.
Like high upside wide receivers. And after I took Mooney, you know, I'm that far in the draft, it was, that's interesting because Cole Kmet is, I'm in agreement that he's one of my favorite. When you punt tight end, get someone who's going to get a bunch of volume. But there's no way that I want Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet on the exact same team. So
you just need that whole Bears offense.
After I took Mooney, I was kind of realizing, well, that is almost making another decision.
Interesting.
You gave the tip of, like, map things out. So just, like, this was just a realization of now of like, if I'm getting Mooney, I'm probably out on Cole Kmet. It's of course not impossible that both of them have fantasy value, but do I really want to be tied to the passing attack of the Bears? I don't think I do.
All right. The Deucers back on the clock after the panic pick of Robert Woods that they were not really happy with. Kyle, what do you got going on?
We definitely wanted Kmet, but we want some votes. So we're going to get Luth.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Oh. Unfortunately, you will get some votes. Also, unfortunately, James Robinson went next. Somebody whose name I wrote down as maybe a last-round pick. But I'm back on the clock. I'm looking at wide receiver depth here, and I have a very interesting situation because if I was drafting and I was really focused on the beginning of the year, that's when I'm thinking about the Jalen Tolbert situation in Dallas.
Okay.
But I'm not. With my roster, I am not thinking beginning of the year. I'm thinking who they paid a lot of money to. I'm thinking a player that will slide onto my potential IR and give me another waiver wire spot, but also will be the, you know, 1B on a great offense to score more points than anybody in football. I'm going to take Michael Gallup.
Nice.
Who started running. And I'm going to put him on my IR, and then I'm going to come back and get somebody else from the waiver wire later.
I can dig that. So I have my tight end selection and just whoever I want to take here as a late-round flyer. So the tight end I'm going to go with is going to be David Njoku. Had someone on Twitter asking, elaborate more about Jacoby Brissett because I mentioned he targets the tight end position. We don't have, like, a ton of Jacoby Brissett. Sample like we have, but we do have essentially two full years as a starter for the Indianapolis Colts. And you go back to those, and the first year it was Jack Doyle was the number two target in that offense, just one target behind T.Y. Hilton. The next time we had Jacoby as a starter, Jack Doyle was tied with Zach Pascal as the number one target. Is this just a product of the lack of weapons for Jacoby Brissett, but then we saw him utilizing the tight ends in Miami as well. So I think that there's a chance that just is who Jacoby Brissett is as a player. Njoku, athletes off the charts, and looking at the depth chart for the Browns, it's Amari Cooper, a rookie David Bell, and then Donovan Peoples-Jones, who's the deep threat, won't see the volume. So I really like David Njoku at the end. And then my wide receiver or running back, if I'm just going to take a flyer here, I already have Mike Evans, so it might scare me off of it, but it's not going to. I'll take Julio Jones and see, because if Julio has something left, it will pay off.
And if Brady retires,
I will not be happy.
Yeah, so I...
because this team will be destroyed.
I punted the tight end I wanted, because I knew that you like David Njoku, and I knew that would be your pick from the remaining tight ends. And I'm going to go with my final pick, the stack with my quarterback. I will take Albert Agbenam.
I'm fine with that.
On the potential that he will be involved. It's certainly more confidence is in the tight ends involvement with Tim Patrick's injury out for the season.
Yep.
If I'm wrong, I'm going to go to the waiver wire and fix the tight end position in some way. But Agbenam will round out my draft. The Deucers, who have the Muth, who got Luth in the 10th round, have your final pick.
Yeah, we wanted to get high upside, so we're going with the true Kenny G, Kenneth Gainwell.
Okay, I like that pick.
The true Kenny G, Kenneth Gainwell.
That's like good. That pick a lot. Wow. When is the last time we heard that? The smooth routes.
I know.
Kenny G.
Maybe
years.
Yeah, maybe he's not making albums anymore. Yeah. I think it might be over.
All right, I have the second to last pick in the draft. I am even with wide receivers and running backs. I've already got my quarterback and tight end here, so I can go either direction. And there are players that I love, two rookies, one at each position. George Pickens,
yep.
I think, is the dude. I think he's going to be great. However,
really, this year you think he'll be great?
I think
maybe clarify the dude just so that people don't think he's the number one wide receiver for the Steelers.
I think it is not outrageous to think that he could finish this year as the number one wide receiver for the Steelers.
This year.
Now, that's not how I have it projected. I definitely think he will be the number one wide receiver for the Steelers at some point in the future if we're talking dynasty leagues. He is a really, really talented guy who's been balling out and showing why there were plenty of people mocking him as a first round draft pick. Don't forget, Justin Jefferson fell to the second round, and sometimes you get a chip on your shoulder.
Justin Jefferson?
A.J. Brown.
Yes, okay.
So I'm not going that way, but I wanted to bring his name up. I've got the second to last pick in the draft. I am going for the stars. I'm a little bit scarier at running back, and I'm going to change from being scared to scaring y'all with Isaiah Pacheco, running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, getting all the buzz.
Okay.
Right now in camp, this is where you take him. The basically the last pick in a draft, because
what
week, week one, we're going to come out and he's a special teamer and doesn't do anything. I cut him. I move on. I've got a waiver pick. If week one he comes out and he's splitting with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and looks like he could take over the job as a, you know, 215-pound sub-4.4 running back, agreed.
One thing that has been interesting over training camp and, you know, some other people that I admire, and they're smart just analyzing the situation of the Chiefs running back, because it's been all over the place. Like, we had...
Yeah, we just had Ronald Jones running with the twos yesterday.
Yesterday or the day before, they completely shook it up. Jones with the twos, and then it was Gore, and then Pacheco was the last person up. What has remained constant, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been the number one guy for this team. Well, he should be. Yes, of course he should be, but he still is at this point, that it seems like Clyde is locked in as their number one guy, and like falling in drafts. I know it feels like, well, this is going to be a fool me thrice with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think there is a strong chance that he is a great value at his ADP. Not a top 10 monster, but a true ADP value at the running back position.
Yeah, you're not a fool if that's what you're expecting from him. You're only a fool if you revert to top five.
The hopes
upside.
With the rookie, yeah.
All right, let's run these rosters back as we close out this mock draft. My running backs, Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, A.J. Dillon, Rashad Penny, and Damian Pierce. Wideouts are Deebo Samuel, Mike Williams, Gabe Davis, and Michael Gallup. My quarterback is Russell Wilson. My tight end, Albert Agbenoh.
I've got wide receivers of Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, Marquise Hollywood-Brown, and Devonta Smith. My running backs are Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, Kareem Hunt, Daryl Henderson, and Isaiah Pacheco, with Jalen Hurts at quarterback and Cole Kmet at tight end.
At wide receiver, I have Mike Evans, Michael Pitty-City Jr., Cortland Sutton, Darnell Mooney, Alan Lazard, and Julio Jones. Pretty wide receiver heavy. At running back, Christian McCaffrey, J.K. Dobbins, Chase Edmonds, the stabilizer. Thank goodness for him. And then we have Trey Lance is my quarterback, and David Njoku is my tight end.
At running back, I have Austin Eckler, Javonte Williams, Ramondre Stevenson, Kenneth Gainwell, wide receiver A.J. Brown, D.J. Moore, Juju Smith-Schuster, Allen Robinson, and Robert Woods. And at quarterback, I have Aaron Rodgers and tight end, the Muth.
The Muth. All right. Well, you can see the entire draft board over on YouTube. You can also join us for our live stream today. If you go to ballerslive.com, it'll make it really easy for you to join us. We'll be answering questions, anything you've got for us, and we'll be giving away an ultimate draft kit for life and some other autographed sports memorabilia. Definitely go to ultimatedraftkit.com. Get that UDK. If you got a draft this weekend, there is time to get in there. Get the information you need. We have a brand new cheat sheet creator, so you can print out or use it on your phone and get ready for your draft. Do not be outmaneuvered by those hooligans in your league.
Yeah, and I would just say, I really do hope that it is you watching live when we call your name out to give it to you. So make sure you're there.
Yeah, and you'll be telling your kids, obviously, that they'll be getting it one day when you bequeath it. So that is it for today's episode. Appreciate all of you. Back with five more shows next week.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.